Since we're leading a Seder tonight, we are actually going to be talking about Passover today, based on the original Seder found in Exodus chapter 12. So turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. How many of you remember that song, Memories? You know, Memories? Memories, la-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's all I remember, because for me, it's elevator music, okay? It's a song all about memories, you know, memories. My wife has taken pictures for years so that she can make memory books. And one of these years, she hopes to empty out that huge plastic container full of pictures so she can make these memory books, okay? Many times, you know, we want to collect memories. We kind of want to remember what's gone on before. Memories are important. You know, the past is an important reference point for the present and obviously also for the future. Memories are powerful. Scientists have really kind of opened up a little bit of information on this lately. Scientists have mentioned repeatedly how the brain stores just all kinds of information. Maybe you're walking someplace, maybe you're downtown Milwaukee or something else, and you get a whiff of something, good or bad, okay? And it just suddenly into your mind floods all kind of memories that you haven't thought about in years, just some abstract thought, because what you smelled goes into your brain perceives it, and you automatically are reminded of something that has nothing to do with where you're at. Memories are powerful. I think memories are important for impacting, encouraging, redirecting the future, because we remember the past. You know, I mean, it doesn't take too many shots for a young child to recognize that going to the doctor can be painful. All right? Memories impact the present, impact the future. All right? Now, what we're going to look at today is the fact that God has provided for us a Passover memory. Right? We are to remember Passover. Strictly speaking from the text, God told the Jewish people to remember the Passover event that he would do for them when the angel of death would pass over them. For us as believers, this text, I think, is an important remembrance for us to remember what God did for Israel, what God did for us in sending the Messiah Yeshua as the ultimate Passover lamb, but also for us to remember our own personal spiritual Passovers. I hope that you are here today and you are a believer because you had an experience with God. You came to a point in your life where you recognized your need to believe in Yeshua, Jesus, as your Passover lamb. That you have applied his blood to the doorposts of your heart and by that have become a believer. When's the last time you reflected and remembered your spiritual Passover? When is the last time you took time to consider all that God has done for you since that time? That what God has done for you in redirecting your life because of his salvation of you. When's the last time you considered that? So this morning we are going to look at remembering our spiritual Passover, and we're going to look at it in terms of remembering the Passover from Egypt. So let's take a look at the text. Exodus chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 14. Exodus 12, verse 14. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. Okay. Real simple. God says, you shall keep this holiday. All right? The Jewish people are to celebrate and remember Passover forever. And that's why Jewish people celebrate and remember Passover today. It's an interesting thing to consider as you read the scriptures, though, that for a great chunk of the biblical text, Jewish people didn't keep Passover. You ever remember when you read in the Kings, you know, in the Chronicles, it'll make a phrase, it'll say something, or in Joshua, it says, suddenly they come to a point, and suddenly they decide, oh, Passover, or oh, Sukkot, you know? I mean, the bottom line is that the Jewish people very often didn't even bother to remember these holidays much closer to the event. They just didn't do it. And so the statement is made in the text that they had never celebrated like this since they had left Egypt. We too easily forget all that God does for us. I think someone had mentioned this morning in the breaking of the bread that we need to do this every week because we tend to forget. We tend to forget. We so easily get discouraged or we get our thought patterns just tend to go in the wrong direction. We need points of remembrance. I think it's essential for believers to be in services regularly. In fact, I challenge believers to be in their place of worship every time the door opens for encouragement, all right, for challenge. You know, we all need it. And so often we think, well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the husband and the wife, where you know, the wife is upset because the husband never says that he loves her. And, you know, and she's always kind of nagging him and nagging him. And he finally says, listen, I told you when we got married once, that's it. That's all. Why do you need to keep me reminded? You know? And when it's like God, you know, we do not understand the depth of our need for regular encouragement and reflection on all that God has done for us. Passover is a holiday of remembrance. It's interesting, according to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 45, verse 21, Passover will continue to be observed in the kingdom. Okay? This is an important memorial, a remembrance of an amazing thing that God did. Now, Passover is a holiday of remembrance. That, of course, is the overall theme here. But I want to point out that also Passover is a holiday of restriction. Passover is a holiday of restriction. Since this is the Bible hour, I'll ask a couple of quick questions. What is it that must not be present at Passover? Anybody know what one element is absolutely forbidden at Passover? Leaven. Good. Every once in a while I'll ask that question and someone will say, pork chops. That's understood, okay? We're looking for something deeper. Leaven. You cannot celebrate Passover and have Italian loaves, all right? Leonardo da Vinci got it wrong. You cannot have Italian loaves at Passover. Last night, we had our boys' night out. Oy, Veshmer. These guys are nuts, these guys. But we talked about Passover, and we were talking about this. You know, what elements are needed and why we can't have different things. And it was, you know, we took a little bit of interaction. These are all Jewish kids, and they love to make jokes about Passover. But we all agreed that, yes, if you have leaven at Passover, you're breaking an important rule. And if you, you know, and so God has restrictions on celebration of Passover. And you know what? We talk about this in the Seder. That unless we follow God's instructions as Jews, if we had not followed God's instructions at Passover that he gave in Exodus chapter 12, there would have not been redemption. If you were a Jew and you were part of the SPCA, you know, the or whatever they call it, Anti-Cruelty Society, and you said, I just can't kill that lamb. I just can't do it. That lamb, that cuddly little creature, his life shouldn't be taken just because of my sin. I won't do it. I'm sure that God will be merciful and provide another alternative, right? What does it say in the scriptures? What does it say even according to the Haggadah? That guy would have been in trouble. He would not have been redeemed. Why? Because he had not followed God's instructions in regard to redemption. God is serious about his instructions. Passover demands restrictions. One, there, of course, as we see in the text, take a look at verse 15. It says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. All right? God is serious about his instructions. You're going to celebrate Passover, you do it my way. It's a 7-day holiday. No leaven. Period. Now, there's some positive things. It says, obviously, you've got to eat leaven, or you've got to eat Passover. You've got to celebrate it with lamb and with bitter herbs. That's good. I love lamb. Lamb's it's God's meat. All right? And bitter herbs. to remind us of the bitterness of slavery. Now, there's some other restrictions, though. Take a look at verse 46a. Verse 46a says that if you were going to celebrate Passover, it says that the Seder must be eaten in a single house. You are not to bring out any of the flesh outside of the house. That's a kind of an interesting restriction. Why? Why does God require this one home only situation? Not a progressive dinner? Take a look at 46b. It says, nor are you to break any bone of it. Why? It's inefficient. I mean, I don't know much about slicing meat other than when it's on my plate. But from what I understand, it is a very inefficient way to make use of a lamb in not allowing the breaking of any bones. You can't get to all the meat. Why would God require such a seemingly silly restriction? You know what? God has His reasons. Now, as believers, we recognize the sign of it all. We understand what it means in terms of who Yeshua is as Messiah. It's interesting that there are a lot of rules within God's instruction, the Torah, within the confines of the biblical text. Sometimes we scratch our heads and go, why would God require this? Why does God want this? Why does God say this? And the answer always must be on our part, God has spoken, we must do. We must obey. There may be something that God has said in His scriptures that you don't like. You've got to be willing to trust that God knows best. Maybe you're one of those people that's fallen in love with somebody who's not a believer. And you've convinced yourself that missionary dating works. God, I know you can save him. I know you will save him. I'm just going to marry him into the kingdom. You are breaking a clear teaching of the text. You are wrong. Right? You may be here and you know the scriptures talk about giving. And you're like, God, you know I don't have any money. God, you know that my finances are very thin. And so you'll just understand when I don't give anything. Or I give just a paltry sum. I got news for you. God won't understand. You know, God demands that we as believers give back to Him. Why? To challenge and stretch our faith in God. To learn to rely upon Him. Better is 90% with the Lord than 100% with just you alone. All right? Some of God's instructions are hard to understand and appreciate sometimes, but we must understand by faith that God has a reason. It's an interesting thing, too. Take a look at verse 43. That in the restrictions for Passover, there is a restriction on who can celebrate. It says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner is to eat of it. But every man's slave purchased with money after you have circumcised him, then he may eat of it. A sojourner or a hired servant shall not eat of it. It is to be eaten in a single house. You are not to bring forth any of the flesh outside of the house, nor again are you to break any bone of it. You know, a series of instructions limiting who may participate. Now again in 45 though, but if a stranger sojourns with you and celebrates the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised and then let him come near to celebrate it, and he shall be like a native of the land. But no uncircumcised person may eat of it. The same law shall apply to the native as to the stranger who sojourns among you. A limitation. A limitation as to who may benefit. You know, we're living in an age today where people do not like to think that there is exclusions. Let's all just get along. One of the things, and this is controversial, but it's okay. One of the things that really concerned me in the passing away of this Pope, okay, who as best as I can figure was not a believer. All right, because of his statements about Mariology, confession, indulgences. If you haven't read much about what the Pope's been saying in the last 26 years, you ought to do it. All right, he was a good man. If you want to look on in certain moral and ethical things, absolutely. But folks, we have to understand that God is exclusive. You can't say, I love the Lord, I want to follow the Lord, and yet deviate and think that you know, I can come to faith through Jesus and believing in him through this church, and my Muslim friend can come to faith by having a relationship with God through Islam, and my Indian friend can come to faith through having a relationship with God through their religion. This is not gonna work. You know, if you as a believer, or say you're a believer who really believes that, I don't think you understand the reality of the biblical text. You know, as Jews, every day, twice a day, we stand up in morning and in evening and we recite the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And that statement says very clearly, there is no other God. The Lord is one. And also in the Hebrew, Echad means alone. No other way to God. The benefit of Passover must be experienced personally. It's interesting, again, in this text, in order to participate, people could come in after, quote-unquote, conversion. It's exciting to know that God saves people, but he saves them on his terms, by salvation, by grace through faith, in his instructions. And that today means that people must personally believe and accept that Yeshua the Messiah died for their sins. Without acceptance of that truth, they cannot receive the benefit of redemption. I know it's a little tight, a little exclusive. I didn't come up with the rules. I'm just trying to teach from the book. As believers, we have to be willing to accept God's instructions and to follow them and teach them, regardless of the politicalness of our society and the way religion swings and flows in our society today. We have to stand up for truth, because as we stand up for truth, God will use that to reach people through us. Passover is a holiday of remembrance, a holiday of restriction, but what's also exciting is Passover is a holiday of resolve, God's resolve. Again, take a look at verse 42. It says, "It is a night to be observed for the Lord, for having brought them out from the land of Egypt. This night is for the Lord to be observed by all the sons of Israel throughout their generations." And verse 51, "And on that same day the Lord brought the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts." Now, the Jewish people were in Israel, or were in Egypt a long time. I mean, the rabbis have all sorts of years figured out. I mean, they would say that the actual period of slavery was only maybe about 200 years, something like that. But the bottom line is if you were a slave in Egypt, it was too long. Whatever it was too long. And you know, if you were there, you're probably like, okay, God, time to move. Time to, come on, God. Let's bring a little redemption in here. God, why aren't you acting? Why aren't you saving? Why aren't you taking care of me now? You know, the old saying, God, give me patience now, you know? And the bottom line is, we must understand, God is always resolved to do. Let's also understand, God is always able to do whatever it is he wants to do. But he has his own timetable. He has the power and the will to act at any time, to do whatever it is that he wants to do based on his timing. We'll talk about it tonight, that Passover is a beautiful reminder in the very matzah itself of God's power to act. And he acts at those times when we least imagine it, make our heads spin. You know, it's fascinating, in buying this building, this building's been giving me all sorts of trouble, you know. Never done anything like this. And I wanted my timing. All right, we're going to do this, 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 this. And, of course, friends of me, you know, just told me to mellow out, you know. And what's fascinating is if I'd done what I wanted, it would have failed. If I wanted to follow my timetable, it wouldn't have worked. I wouldn't have known that. You know, by faith, I said, God, I'm going to trust you to do what needs to be done. And God saw fit to not only bring it about on a different timetable, but to make sure that we got what we wanted when, you know, when we needed it. That's the hard thing about following God. You want him to act when you want him to act. He seldom does that. Just kind of stick that in the back of your mind and remember that. He acts because of his timetable, not because of your and my timetable. All right? Because he's got a plan. You just have to remember that he is able to act. All right? He has the power. He has the ability. He has the will. When God resolves to do something, he will do it. He had resolved all the way back with Father Abraham that he was going to bring the people out of Egypt. Right? Passover is a holiday that reminds us of God's resolve, of God's plan to do things, and He's going to do it. Nothing will ever thwart or limit or inhibit God's work. You know, one thing that is really true is God is resolved to grow you up spiritually. God is resolved to change us and grow us. What limits that, unfortunately, among us as believers is our unwillingness to grow spiritually. You know, we get into our funks. We get into our little, you know, grooves in this life. And God tries to kick us out of the groove. You know what I'm talking about? It's really muddy weather and you're on a dirt road. And you know, what happens is that, you know, there's ruts that form. Because the earth is soft. I see it driving the freeway. I put about 30,000 miles a year on my car. And I'm driving down freeways, and it's fascinating in our modern era to drive down ruts in the freeway. Cars have driven and driven and driven and driven. And we're just following in line, and we're in a rut, and it's hard to get. We're like that in life. We do the same thing because it's comfortable. God is resolved to keep us uncomfortable. Because when we're comfortable, we're relying on ourselves. When we're uncomfortable, you know, it's good because we need to rely on God. Do you rely on God? Jewish people are praying to get out of Egypt. They're uncomfortable. Too many of them thought God's going to get us out of Egypt. We're going to just kind of float into the promised land, and we're going to live on honey and milk the rest of our lives. No way. God gets them out of Egypt, and He trudges them around in the desert, gets them to Sinai, and at Sinai He basically says, you know what, guys? It's a whole new world out there. We're going to do things my way, and it's going to be different. And they're all like, oy vey, let's go back to Egypt. Why did God do that? He wants them to be uncomfortable. Because when they were uncomfortable, they had to rely upon Him. They had to learn to rely upon Him. We don't have any water, Moses. Give us water. Oh, God, please give them water. We need to be like that ourselves as believers. We need to learn to remember what God has done for us in the past. That when we were in difficult times, that God brought us through. That He redeemed us. That when God tapped us on the shoulders and said, hey, I want you to do this for me, and we took those steps of faith, that God didn't abandon us. He saw us through it. I'm excited about what God is doing right now in our work. Because it's so much beyond me. It is so much beyond me. I can't even imagine where we're going to go. All I know is God has something for us to do. And I have to be willing to be uncomfortable. I have to learn how to go forward in this, relying more and more on the Lord. Because I'm lost without Him. Where are you? Where are you? First, I'm going to ask the challenge. Are you a believer? When I talk about a spiritual Passover, do you know when you came to faith? I find often second generation believers, too often they just kind of by osmosis, they just call themselves Christians. You know, it's great. I tell my kids, you guys are Jews who believe in Jesus. Don't call yourselves Christians. I mean, I never did, okay? It's semantics, maybe. When I became a believer, I knew a lot of Christians who weren't saved. I said, I'm never going to call myself a Christian. And I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be labeled with them. Sometimes as believers, we adopt titles and associations which are external, not internal. So if you are here and you cannot specifically remember that point when you applied the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Messiah Yeshua, to the doorposts of your heart by faith, I challenge you today to believe, to humble yourself before God, to admit your need for salvation, your need for redemption, and to believe. Now, if you are here, and you are a believer, and you haven't thought in a long time about how far God has brought you, I challenge you to think about it. Maybe you've been saved for a few years, and you think back and you go, wow, it's amazing what God has done. Maybe you've been saved for 30 years. And you look back and you say, well, we're just kind of not much gone on. I am firm in my belief and conviction that as believers, we should live radical lives for God. There should be constant dramatic change in our lives. I mean, your dramatic change may not be my dramatic change, but when you honestly reflect back on what God has done in your life and where God has taken you, you should think, wow, things are different. My faith really has grown. My knowledge of the Scriptures has increased. My application of the Scriptures has grown tremendously. My ability to be useful for God is grown. I mean, you're a brother in church, you're elder run, okay, right? So that means you rely upon elders. Now, what are elders? Spiritually mature men. Some of you younger guys, as well as the older guys, well, I'll pick on the younger guys here. Are you preparing yourself to be able to step into the role of a teacher, of a leader? Or are you just waiting and just kind of coasting and wait till the older guys, you know, decide enough already, they're going to hand it off. And you'll be unprepared. And I think that the critical issue in the American church in many ways is the application of the biblical text. We have so many study guides, so much knowledge, very little application. And I think a lot of that is we tend to forget where we've come from. We've lost sight of our reference point as believers. Are you still grateful for all that God has done in your life? I hope you are. And I hope that as you consider that one other thing you will do is remember to reach out to those around you who do not know this truth. I heard an interesting statistic. I doubt it's true, but I'll throw it out anyway on the radio today. 82 million people in America are unchurched, I think. No. It's like 150 million Americans are unchurched. Maybe that's what it was. But 82 million would be willing to accept an invitation to come to church. That's what I heard. Something like that, you know. Especially if you have something fun, they'll come. And 14 million, they say, are probably open to believing. Now, I don't know. But what I want you to do is I want you to take a moment and think about two people in your life who are not believers. Maybe your neighbors, maybe your coworkers, people that you know are not saved. And I want you to think about how you can communicate the truth of this message to them. I want you to consider and contemplate and really ponder what you can do to reach out to them with this message. God uses people like us, simple, redeemed people, to impact those around us. It's not that guy over there or that evangelist over there, it's you and me. Remembering what God has done in our lives. Being willing to let God make us uncomfortable for Him. To grow us and mature us. It's people like us that God uses to reach out to the people around us. You know, the brands of this world, the Jessicas of this world, the different people that I have in my life. I find that it's when I just simply reach out and share and love and pray and go out of my way. God works miracles. How about you? Are you willing to understand where God has taken you from? Are you willing to be uncomfortable for Him in order to make a difference in this world? In the lives of the people that God has in your life. Please consider today two people that you will prayerfully reach out to. Pray for them, develop your relationship with them, but prayerfully reach out to them with the truth of what we've talked about today, what we've celebrated today in the breaking of the bread. And again, on a sidetrack, pray to be uncomfortable for God. Greatest problem in America is we're so doggone comfortable. We have so much money. We waste it miserably. We're so complacent because we're so comfortable. Pray to be uncomfortable for God. Pray that God would make you uncomfortable for Him. And He'll probably do it by getting you involved in the lives of people who don't know Him. All right? Let's close in a word of prayer. God, we thank You for the truth of Your Scriptures. God, I thank You for a spiritual Passover. And God, I thank you for the fact that when we were not even looking for you, you were looking for us. Even while we were yet sinners, you died for us. God, we thank you for that. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We recognize who you are. And God, I pray for each one of us here that we truly would desire to make an impact for you in the lives of those around us. God, people need a preacher. I pray that we would take up the responsibility of speaking forth the truth of your scriptures to those around us, that we'd be bold, that we would show love. I pray that the things you've done in our life, we could communicate with others. And God, I pray too, in a very strong sense, that today we would each be burdened with whether or not we're living worthy of the death of our Messiah. So often we forget what he's done for us, even if we may celebrate it every week. Please forgive us for that. And again, I thank you for this church. I thank you for just their commitment to you, the depth of their knowledge, Lord. And I pray that you would bless them and use them. I pray that this whole church, God, would get uncomfortable for you. I pray that you would just do things, bring into their lives opportunities that will keep them jumping, expand their borders, use them up for your glory. And again, we thank you for our Messiah, Yeshua. We pray, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.